Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us this week. On today's podcast, we'll talk about CBD retail locations in Indiana with Ryan Rummel of Elite Health and Wellness, where Hoosiers can go to talk to experts in the field as well as purchase their CBD products. We'll also hear from the Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney & Evans, as well as President of the Midwest Hemp Council, Justin Swanson, who'll talk about this week's Hemp Advisory Committee meeting. Also on the program, we'll talk with Midwest Hemp Council Administrative Manager Michelle Linus about the ongoing and upcoming Indiana Hemp Field Day events. But first, we'll kick things off with Ryan Rummel, the Director of Indiana Sales and Purchasing and also the General Manager of Elite Health and Wellness in McCordsville. Hey, Ryan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Well, absolutely, and thanks for joining us. And of course, Elite Health and Wellness has a sister location in Mooresville, Indiana. That opened up a few months before you guys, correct?
It did. It opened up April 1st.
Oh, okay, fantastic. And how are they doing down in the Mooresville location?
Oh, they're doing great. You know, with what we're trying to do and get into the community, it just takes a little bit of time, but no, they're doing great.
Fantastic. And now you're in McCordsville, so you're kind of, you know, I guess we would call that southwest of Indianapolis and northeast of Indianapolis. Are you seeing some good traffic, folks coming into Elite Health and Wellness looking for CBD products?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we didn't expect, you know, a ton right from the start. So it's growing rapidly. But yeah, people are, you know, wondering what's going on in there. So they're stopping in. And, you know, that's what we really want. We want to be here to be able to talk about it and explain what, you know, what CBD actually is.
All right. Now, let's start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about the products you offer there at Elite Health and Wellness.
Sure. Really anything you can think of CBD. I mean, we offer tinctures, capsules, salves and creams, vapables, I mean, even pet products, but what we hang our hat on is the edibles, like the gummies and the spreadables, like peanut butter and hazelnut spreads. And then we also have good cookies. So, I mean, those are really good products as well.
Now, how much, let's ask you this, you've got a lot of products there, so a lot of variety for people to choose from. People have not grown up in Indiana taking CBD or any other hemp sort of, or any other hemp products. So they walk in the store, they look around, there's a vast array of products there. How do they know which one's going to suit them best?
Really, you just have to ask a lot of questions. I mean, you really need to know what they're dealing with and what they're comfortable, you know, getting started with, because really it's just getting started at this time, because people are really unaware of, you know, what's going on with this type of product and they don't even know. So we just want to explain to them that there's an easy way to start, whether it's taking a gummy a day or whether it's, you know, a dropper or a capsule, however they feel comfortable, you know, even a cream, you know, that's a really good way to get started, is to see results with a cream.
And of course, the retail locations, you guys not been there a long time. You're just, you know, getting things up and running and building up your clientele. And the people that do come in, what do they specifically, I mean, they're coming in because they know of CBD. Maybe they're already well educated about CBD. I'm assuming a lot of people walk in, they're not that educated about it, but they're there because they're seeking it out. What reasons are you hearing that they are coming in to seek this out? You mentioned you even have the products for the pets. Are they coming in saying, my pet is, you know, having issues, or I'm having issues? Why are people walking into Elite Health and Wellness to purchase CBD products?
Well, Jason, you really nailed it there at the beginning, saying that there, you know, there's really two types of customers that we see when they come in. They're the ones that know exactly what they're looking for. They've been buying it online, and they're just thankful that there's somebody here locally to come in and talk to about it. You know, that customer, you just show them exactly what, you know, what they want, and then that's a pretty easy one. Now, the other one that's more common are the people that come in, and really they just say, they're really, they've been scared to even ask about it. And now they come in and they have somebody to talk to, and they're like, please just tell me about this product. You know, I've heard that it helps, you know, whether they have anxiety or whether they have a pain that they're dealing with. That's usually the top two things that's going on right now.
And are these people that have tried medical remedies that have not helped or have not worked, or are they maybe not at the point where they've seen a doctor for their issue?
A little bit of both, but yeah, mainly, you know, people that have been in with the pharmaceuticals, and they don't like the way it feels or anything like that, and they don't want to be caught up in that. You know, I mean, those are just highly addictive medications that they're taking, and they just don't want to do it anymore.
Well, and again, people growing up in Indiana have never had the benefit of CBD products, but a lot of them could say, look, I've been alive all my life, and I've been able to do it without CBD. Why would I start using it now, as opposed to popping an aspirin or something else out there that I'm or an antihistamine, something I'm used to using? Why would I switch over to CBD now?
Well, I would say that, I mean, there are multiple studies out there that are showing how safe this product is, you know, so there's really no harm in trying. And how do you know you've felt great until you really do feel great? And maybe it, you know, it gets them over that hump, and then they realize, wow, this is something that we need to look at.
All right. Once again, we're speaking with Ryan Rummel, the director of Indiana Sales and Purchasing for Elite Health and Wellness, also the general manager of the retail location in McCordsville. As we discussed, there's another location in Mooresville that you can check out. I believe is it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's Austin Nixon in Mooresville that's running that location, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's Austin and it's Kayla are the two faces you'll see when you go in there.
All right, fantastic. Now, so I'm going to come back to the fact that opening a retail outlet, as opposed to right now, most everything CBD is, or CBD oriented, is on the internet. And like anything on the internet, there's a lot of different opinions, a lot of different products out there. There's going to be what we call the fly-by-night people from other states, other locations that are selling bad products, bogus CBD. And there are those locations that are selling good quality CBD. But you know, how do you know you're getting good quality versus bad quality if somebody orders something on the internet without being able to look at somebody and purchase it from them? Obviously, there's a lot more possibility that they're getting a bad product. But honestly, how do I know if I've got a good CBD product or a bad CBD product?
Wow. There are so many products, so many brands, so many places to get CBD. It's really hard to know. And that's really the problem right now, is everybody isn't saying the same things and they're not required to do the same things. I mean, here in Indiana, the stipulation is you have to have a QR code on your product. So at least they have a something that they can click on, and that takes you to the COA, the certificate of analysis, that tells exactly what's in that product. Mm-hmm. That way you can verify at least what's in that product. We just want to be the people that, you know, the local source that you can come into and talk to and trust. I mean, I grew up here, you know, we're in the community. My family lives here. My family's from here. You know, we're not going to be gone tomorrow. We want to be the people that are here honestly answering questions. That way, you know, the community learns more about CBD and how great it can be.
And I'm going to lobby a softball here. Why a brick and mortar location, or actually two locations now in Indiana, versus just simply aggressive marketing on the internet?
It's just not the same thing. I mean, I people buy stuff from Google, but they don't know who Google is. I want them to come in here. We want to have relationships. We want to be able to follow their progress. You know, we want to see their smiling faces, and we want them to just look us in the eye and know that they can trust us.
And once again, we're speaking with Ryan Rummel, the director of Indiana Sales and Purchasing at Elite Health and Wellness, also the general manager in McCordsville. As we've said a couple times here, they have a sister location in Mooresville. So regardless of which side of Indianapolis you're on, you can certainly get to those locations. You guys have some other locations hopefully popping up, I know in Michigan, as well as I would assume if things go well, you'll be looking at more locations in Indiana.
We would love to. Yeah, absolutely. We want this thing to expand, and we want to be all over the place.
Now, talk about some of the operations. Where are you getting your product from? You guys do produce a lot of the product in the store, or do you produce all? Are you producing 100% of your product?
No, absolutely not. We have lots of different vendors, manufacturers to choose from. We have about 8 or 9 different brands right now, and we're growing, we're growing every day, trying to bring more options in, for everyone to choose from. We are working very closely with the guys at Medi Eddies. And I know some of the production is going to be moving down here to, I think all the production is going to be moving down here to Indianapolis. So that's going to be really good to work with.
And now how much, I know you may not have a lot to do with the production that's coming down to Indianapolis, but what can you tell us about that and why is that a benefit for Indiana?
I mean, once the Indiana farmers, get the hemp up and going and they start growing here, I mean, we'll be grown here, not flown here. I mean, I think that's very important when you're talking about supporting the local economy, being the local source, everything I've already said. I think, just from start to finish, from seed to shelf, will be the entire process.
All right. And one more time, the education value that you guys offer versus the internet, because again, you might be able to find the best information you can on the internet, but you don't know if that's accurate information or not. So when somebody walks into your store, we've already talked about the questions they may have. They may have medical issues. They may have, or they may just want to feel a little better, or they may just be curious. I guess, what philosophy do you take to all these people, regardless of their needs?
We have boots on the ground in this industry. We've been, from, like I said, start to finish. So, we really have that education for them for any question that they really can ask. Whereas when you're looking online, it's just all that misinformation out there. You can look 100 different places and get 100 different answers. So until we're all saying the same thing, which we really believe is one of the most important things in this, is to everyone say the same thing, as far as what they're calling things, that way there isn't the confusion. And it's a lot easier for the consumer to come in here and figure out what they need.
And Ryan, we talked about the drops. We've talked about the gummy bears. What other type of products do you have there, choices? And why do you have to have that much of a variety of choices if it's something I can simply get out of a dropper?
Well, because really there is no, there is an amount, a too much amount, but you could take it really all day in small amounts and be fine. So you don't want to just have to take a capsule all day or, an oil. It just makes it fun to be able to take a gummy that's, that's really good, or eat a cookie, or something like that. Some people don't like to take oils in their mouth. They don't like the texture, or they can't take a capsule, so they want to have different options to be able to do this for people.
And what about the pet products that you have? Can you expound a little bit on those?
Yeah, sure. I mean, dogs and mostly dogs in particular, they have, muscle and joint pains and different stuff like that. And, a lot of inflammation and even anxiety when it comes to loud noises, being home alone, fireworks, that type of thing. So CBD is just something that's been shown to help the pets as well.
And we had, another member of the Elite Health and Wellness family, Spencer Wilson, on a couple weeks ago. And Spencer mentioned that he had a pet that was having as many as 60 seizures a day. And that's why they sought out CBD and they cut that down to maybe one every 60 days, which is an incredible turnaround. Are you hearing stories like that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's funny you say that, because that's really what started this all with, with Spencer and everything. But yeah, I have heard that. I mean, there's all kinds of people standing up every day saying that this product is helping their dog. This product is helping them, do A, B, C. So, I mean, people just need to get online. They need to do their research and then come in and talk to someone if you have a question about it. That's what we're here for.
And Ryan, where do you see the hemp industry and CBD production in particular headed here in the next couple of years in Indiana?
Wow, I only see it growing. I mean, with all the great people that are pushing it in legislation and making sure that people know about it, I mean, I can only see it growing. It's one of the few industries right now that are at the bottom that there's no ceiling for it right now.
All right. Once again, Ryan Rummel, the Director of Indiana Sales and Purchasing with Elite Health and Wellness, as well as the General Manager of the Elite Health and Wellness Shop in McCordsville. Go ahead and give us the address of that location.
Yeah, in McCordsville, we're here at, we're in the McCordsville Commons Strip Center, and it's 5925 West Broadway, and that's 46055 McCordsville. Phone number is 317-589-4087. Mm-hmm. In Mooresville, it's 16 East Main Street, 46158. So go check them out too. They're a great location.
All right. We certainly encourage folks to do that and educate yourself a little bit more about this big movement that is hitting and now legal in Indiana. So we do encourage everybody to get as much information as they can. Ryan, is there anything else that we needed to hit on today?
No, I mean, just come out and check us out. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We have our website, which is www.elitehaw.com. I mean, we're trying to be all over the place, so we want it to be as easy as possible for anyone to get the information that they need. So come on in. I'd love to meet you.
All right. Fantastic, Ryan. You've given us a lot of information today, and we certainly do wish you the best of luck out there with Elite Health and Wellness.
Jason, man, I really appreciate you letting me on.
All right, next up on the program, we have Midwest Hemp Council President Justin Swanson. Justin is also the Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney & Evans. Is also fresh out of the first ever Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee meeting that took place this morning in Danville, Indiana. Justin, how you doing today, and what can you tell us about what happened this morning?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, like you mentioned, we had our first Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee, so we're very excited to have a seat at that table. There's probably 60 plus people in the room, and probably the one of the coolest things I saw in the room was, we're starting to see more and more existing companies and other industries who are, it looks like they're at least dipping their toe in the water to see where or even if their existing company can either help build the supply chain or, create a niche market for themselves throughout that hemp supply chain. So that's becoming more common. So that's a really good sign from our perspective.
Well, and before we get to who was actually placed on that committee, what was the actual purpose of the gathering today?
So this this committee was formed as a result of Senate Enrolled Act 516 from this past legislative session. And they're created by statute, by law, and by law, the purpose is to provide advice to the seed commissioner with respect to plans, policy, rules, fees, and procedures applicable to our hemp program, which is in code is in 15-15-13. So really, it's exciting because they're allowing and giving market participants, farmers, processors, retailers, seed dealers, an opportunity to help build the regulatory framework for our hemp program, which will essentially take effect as soon as USDA approves our state plan. So the purpose really is to help create that regulatory program. We want, transparency, we want traceability, and we want people who are doing it right to enter the market here in Indiana and really help build the market because it needs to mature before it can really take off here.
All right, and obviously a very important part of that meeting today was naming the folks on the committee. Go ahead and give us a rundown. Tell us who is on that committee.
So we had you have ISDA, which is great. You have seed commissioner, state chemist, state police, Department of Health, Alcohol and Tobacco Commission. You had an elected sheriff, a member from Midwest Hemp Council, who's Bowman Family Holdings is representing us on the council, and a Farm Bureau appointment, which is Mark Boyer from Healthy Hoosier Oils, which is great to see. Someone appointed from the Agribusiness Council of Indiana, which is Phil Brewer, representing Co-Alliance as well. Danny Osborne from Osborne Seed, representing the seed dealers. And then, which is really good to see as well, is Department of Financial Institutions. That's a good sign as well, because I think there still needs they need more guidance before I think the traditional banking companies start expanding their scope into supporting and helping build the hemp economy.
And that's a lot of people to put in one room at one time. Are these folks supposed to be getting together on a regular basis, or what? How does this committee work? How does it operate?
Yeah, so they'll meet a couple more times, and they already have a tentative first date. And I stress that this is very tentative, so it's not confirmed, but it'll be the same location at Hendricks County Fairgrounds on September 23rd. You have almost, over a month and a half here.
Okay, and what are some of the things they'll be looking at in the next couple of meetings?
So again, we're really trying to develop our regulations covering the production of hemp. And why this is so important is you know, we, Indiana, has taken the stance that we want Indiana to be the primary regulator of hemp production. And so part of that process is developing your, what's called a state plan. And then we're going to submit that state plan to USDA. And if that's approved, that's when really I think we're going to see Indiana come online in terms of investments and acreage and research, really come online after that gets approved by USDA. I do want to stress now, it's not just once we submit it to USDA, it's going to be approved right away. USDA first has to come out with their regulations, which we're hoping will be this month or next month. I think last I heard it would be in quote unquote the fall sometime, according to their testimony in front of a congressional committee last week. So once they actually release those, there's actually a 90-day comment period on those rules. So Midwest Hemp Council is going to be submitting comments once we're able to take a look at those federal regulations. And then after that 90-day period up, then you submit your state plan, and USDA has 60-day shot clock to approve or deny that plan.
So that's go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Jason. I'm just saying I'm trying to manage expectations. We still have a long ways to go, and we had a successful legislative session. But we have a long way to go to make sure our regulations make sense for farmers and law enforcement and really everyone involved.
Well, it sounds like it's going to take a few months to get everything in line there. So that's going to get us into the 2020 year. What kind of timeline of events do you see for the 2020 growing season?
Well, we should hopefully have our state plan approved, and our regulations will be well known, well before farmers go planting.
And Justin, what do you see as the biggest policy issue that the committee will be deciding on, or what's the biggest policy issue they're going to be looking at?
Well, I think one, just again, in general, just setting up the framework, one that promotes transparency and maintains kind of the integrity of the market. But I think for Indiana farmers and our members in particular, I think the testing protocol, as well as the sampling protocol of what's in your field, is going to be a huge policy decision. Mm-hmm. So that's something we're going to be paying close attention to ensure that we have the most farmer friendly, policies and rules in place, while also maintaining law enforcement concerns. You know, and they actually had a pretty good comment today, which was great to hear. One, state police have been very proactive and researching hemp on a policy level. From their view, from an enforcement standpoint, I know they spent a lot of time in Kentucky. I think they mentioned last year they spent about a week in Kentucky. So they're certainly not coming in blind to this. And I think from their perspective, transparency and communication is key. And they don't want, state police and the sheriff's kind of reiterated it as well. They don't want this to be a law enforcement issue. They want this to be a USDA or a seed commissioner issue. They mentioned they had Kentucky's only had 3 criminal cases in the last 5 years. So hopefully we can beat that record with 0.
And Justin, you said there were about 60 people that showed up in attendance today. And we're talking about the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee meeting that happened out in the Hendricks County Fairgrounds. And today being August 1st, for those of you listening at a later time here, you say about 60 people showed up. Did everybody walk away feeling pretty good about what they saw?
I think for... this is such a new industry. I think you have a lot of people who's, you have people in the audience who wanted to move a lot faster. You have others in the audience in the committee who wanted to move a lot slower. So I think it was a great first meeting. Everyone's just trying to, I think, identify what particular policy areas they're most interested in terms of who they're representing. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone's willing to work together. There was, a good energy in the room, and I think just people are getting more and more curious and more serious about entering the market here in Indiana.
And when the committee meets again, is the public once again invited to come in and participate or at least view it?
Yeah, so they did today. They did take a couple questions from the audience, so I think it'll be a pretty organic process. Dr. Waltz did mention that in future meetings, I don't know if this will be the one in September or not, but in future meetings we'll have basically, they're going to make sure that there's at least a good portion of listening. So I think that'll be a good opportunity for the public and some of our members to kind of have a conversation with the committee and let them know areas of support or concern on what we're looking at in terms of regulations.
Excellent. Once again, Justin Swanson, Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Counsel at Bose, McKinney & Evans, and also, of course, the President of the Midwest Hemp Council. Justin, anything else that we can add to the events today?
No, I just I can't stress enough how important what we're doing right now is for the industry. So if you have comments, suggestions, concerns, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. We certainly don't know it all and don't have a monopoly on good ideas. So if you guys are listening from out of state, we'd love to hear, if you could, start your state program all over again, what would you do differently? That's the kind of feedback we're looking for.
Excellent. Okay, Justin. And we do appreciate you coming on. We'll giving us the update. We will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Excellent. All right. We'll get this added in. Should have it posted here, I would imagine, by about 2 o'clock.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jason. I really appreciate your help.
Absolutely.
As always.
All right. Thanks again, Justin. Finally on the program today, we turn our attention to Midwest Hemp Council Administrative Manager Michelle Linus, who will tell us all about the successful Indiana Hemp Field Days that have been happening all over the Hoosier State this summer. Michelle, great to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And kind of a treat here. We haven't had a chance to talk to you and get a lot of details, even though you're doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff there with the Midwest Hemp Council, helping Jamie Campbell Petty and Justin Swanson and everybody that's coming together as a team to make this work. We've got you on here today to talk about the upcoming field days. And actually, as we speak, we record this interview on Wednesday. You're currently at a hemp field day.
I am. And as we speak, I am looking at a beautiful organic grain field for Noble Organics.
Well, tell us a little bit about Noble Organics and what you guys are doing up there.
Today, they were having their hemp research in organic grain transition tour. So currently, we are looking at one of his successful grain fields. It is incredibly beautiful. And he is currently on the field speaking with Legacy Hemp over the crop, going over some lessons learned and some things that they can do moving forward.
Well, Michelle is one of those people that I said that has been involved from way back in the beginning in bringing hemp to Indiana. It's got to be neat to actually be walking in a field of hemp.
It's amazing. And even from my perspective personally, I just have like a 70 by 30 plot of fiber in my front yard because I figured if I taught for so long, I might as well throw some seed out. But yeah, it's amazing. And even to see the successes and even the trials are enlightening more than they are dampering because we're learning, right? And finding out that all of the fluff out there is not true.
Now, what do you expect to take away from this field day today?
Today is definitely enlightening on the hardships from the organic perspective. The impacts from the weather this year have just been exponential. So some people are a little upset and maybe down in the dumps about the output that we've had. However, the experiences and the lessons that we're learning are priceless. I mean, you really can't pay for that experience. So trying to see the silver lining in it.
Well, anybody in the agriculture business knows that you can't fight Mother Nature, and you just have to deal with what she gives you, and that's on an annual basis. It's just unfortunate that the first year of hemp in Indiana got hit with such monsoon weather there early on, but again, at least it's in the ground, it's growing. People see that you can grow hemp in Indiana.
Absolutely.
All right. Now talk about these, the upcoming field days. I believe if I've got my records correct, the next one is August 7th.
Yes. That one will be through Heartland Harvest Hemp. That is a CBD field day. So we expect that one to be a popular attraction for people. Beyond that, Purdue had overwhelming response to their field day, which was last week. They had actually sold out and had quite a few people even still calling after the day was filled. So they have added a second date, August 15th. I believe it will be a half day and not a two session.
Mm-hmm.
So that is currently open. We also have a fiber field day coming August 29th at Benham Farm, and that is in Ripley County, Indiana. And I should say, let me reverse, Harvest Hemp or Heartland Harvest Hemp is in Hartford City.
Mm-hmm.
And the August 15th Purdue will be at Purdue University. And then after the August 29th date is the Dream Nutrition Facility Tour. I know it's currently listed as a field day, but that's actually moved into a facility tour. So that'll be a unique opportunity for people where they can get to see a vertically integrated CBD company and how things are done in-house versus going out into the field and seeing the plants.
Okay. And that is September 9th.
Yes. And that is in Rushville. And then the next one that we have scheduled is September 13th. That is at Third Wave Farms, and that's in Logansport. That will be another CBD-centric field day, so we hope that'll be a good popular one as well. And then as of right now, we currently do not have any more scheduled, but I do believe that there are about three more farmers who are interested in hosting a field day. So if you can't make some of those, we're looking to add some more to the schedule.
And again, tell us, Michelle, why these folks want to go to a hemp field day.
I think it's good for people to visit these fields and see that there's a lot of planning and organization and tending. And even especially with CBD, there's a lot of manual labor that goes into it. And I think people are kind of taken aback thinking that you can just throw the seed out, let it grow, and it's hemp. It'll grow anywhere. It'll do anything at any time. And that's not true.
It's not a pumpkin patch.
No, it's not. And it's good to see the successes, and it's also good to see the hardships.
And that is very important because, again, with the weather and again, all the work that does go along with hemp, are you seeing people kind of taken aback by the amount of work that is involved in hemp versus other crops?
Yes, especially more so with CBD. I think grain and fiber is an easy transition for farmers who are already doing either a grain crop or baling hay for fiber. But I think people are more taken aback by CBD, that it is so hands-on. I know there are some mechanized methods out there, but even that is not widely as popular mm-hmm. when it comes to the cultivation of the crop.
All right. And of course, you know, agriculture and that business is difficult enough and can be certainly financially strapping. So we certainly don't want to see people enter into something that they're not aware of. And it's certainly a good idea for them to see what the intense labor and cost that goes into this before they dive in, because it's a new crop.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that people need to realize, especially more so about CBD, is that although the revenue figures may look really high and they're incredibly enticing, they also need to understand that that also comes with a very high percentage of risk. And I don't think people realize that, as far as like having a substantial amount of cannabinoids when you're done with the product, having a place to dry them, having a place to store that, having a place to buy that. People don't realize that it's not a floodgate where people are going to be searching for that biomass. It's a different ball game.
Mm-hmm. And there's certainly no excuse for folks to be uneducated about hemp and what they're entering into. With all the field days that Purdue and Midwest Hemp Council and others are providing, as well as the websites that are out there, MidwestHempCouncil.com being the main one you want to go to, and you can link off to other sites from there. But certainly no excuse for people not knowing what they're entering into.
Absolutely. And especially, I mean, that's been our focus all along, is trying to give people that educational opportunity, and even at free or a minimal cost. We really don't want to make it a hard reach for people to get that information. So I find it frustrating when somebody may say that, oh, we didn't know about that, when we've done nothing but try to educate.
Right. And speaking of that, and we're talking with Michelle Linus, the administrative manager for the Midwest Hemp Council. Michelle, you've also got some expanded symposiums coming up.
I do. So I'm actually in the process of organizing an expanded symposium. We held a symposium in March that was wildly successful. So I am looking towards November, potentially at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. That's not set in stone yet. So I want to just put the bug in people's ear that it is coming. It'll be coming down the pipe. Be sure to follow Midwest Hemp Council's Facebook page and website for that information for when it rolls out.
All right. And you've also got, we have some networking events coming up, but go ahead and explain to folks the difference between a networking event versus a symposium.
Yeah. So the symposium, we're going to invite different agronomists. We'll have one day devoted to agronomy and one day devoted to business and regulatory. And that's really just a time for you to sit down back in school, right? Sit down with your notepad, soak in as much information as you can from what we consider to be the experts in the industry. The networking nights, on the other hand, are evenings that are a lot less formal. It's usually at a restaurant. We typically sometimes hold them at breweries. And it's a chance for people to integrate, where we bring in farmers, we bring in processors, we bring in retailers, we bring in end users, and everybody can get together. And it's basically the supply chain that we throw in one room. And that's the goal, is for everybody to leave with a connection, a contact, and build the industry in Indiana.
And very successful. I know I've been to at least two at Roosters and some other locations, and they're always well attended. And again, it's great just to be able to walk around and listen to the different conversations that people are having. And I always try to migrate over toward Marty Mahan from the Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter. Marty is just, that guy is a nonstop information booth.
He is. And I laugh too, because Marty used to be the one standing back in the corner, kind of soaking it all. And now he's the most popular guy in the room.
Absolutely. And it's certainly a great character. Yes. And again, Michelle Linus is our guest, the administrative manager for the Midwest Hemp Council. And we covered the field days, the symposiums, the upcoming networking events. And all this can be viewed on the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. You can go there, kind of a starting point to jump off to these other events. But Michelle, is there anything else that we need to discuss this week?
I think that's about all from my end. The only thing that I can't stress enough is to just follow us on our Facebook page, stay interacted, come to our events, come to our educational events. They're worth every minute, every dollar. We will provide everything that we can. That's our goal. And we strive to not make it a commercial either. So the end game is education and networking.
All right. Once again, Michelle Linus. Michelle, I appreciate it. It's been a great conversation. We definitely need to get you back on here.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's going to do it for our show this week. We certainly hope you've been both entertained and informed. And if you'd like more information, go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, to find out how you can get involved in the many facets of hemp in Indiana, as well as the entire Midwest. Thanks again for tuning in, and always remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. It's brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. So long, everybody.